talking about this series, and I want to kind of wrap it up this morning if I get a chance to, about it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind, and we've been talking about that's where our biggest battle is. And that how many know that sometimes your mind can play tricks on you, right? All of a sudden someone says something, you can think that there's something else. You know, someone looks at you funny, you can think something else. You get passed over at work for a job opportunity, and we can start to think, oh my goodness, what did I do wrong? Why don't they like me? What's happening? Our mind can play major tricks on us, but we who believe understand what Scripture says. The Scripture says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord that orders our steps. So if you're a believer in Christ right now, you need to understand God is closing doors around you all the time so that he can open up the right ones. If we're left to our own, we would be so in trouble. If God just said, hey, I did my part, I'm going to rest now because I'm tired, you guys kind of handle everything, man, this world would be in dire straits. It's already in dire straits, and Holy Spirit is forever speaking and looking and drawing and moving. Imagine what it's going to be like when all of a sudden God blows the trumpet and the Christians are all pulled up and Holy Spirit steps back. It'd be utter chaos. It'd be utter chaos. And so don't ever think that your voice doesn't matter. Don't ever think that your life doesn't matter. Don't let the enemy play tricks on you and try to overwhelm you. Talking about demolishing spiritual strongholds, and that it's time to take a stand and fight the fight of faith. Faith. It's faith as small as a mustard seed that moves the mountain. It's not working ourselves up. It's not that I've been saved for 40 years and so that should do it. It's not that, hey, you know what, I'm young so I deserve to get healed versus someone that's older doesn't deserve because they've already had their life. It's not all of the things that this world tries to pecking order everything in, but God has given you the ability as a believer in Christ to be an overcomer and to be able to speak to the strongholds and say, in Jesus' name, move. Amen? Now, I don't understand it all. I'm not here, it's like magic genie, rub the lamp and all of a sudden he's got to come out and give you three wishes. That's not what it's about. But it's about you and I getting so hard down on our knees before him and ask him, God, what are you doing right now? Because that's what I want to do. What are you saying? Because that's what I want to say. Where are you right now? Because that's where I want to be. That's what prayer is all about. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The problem is in our North American churches is that we are living as if we are God. And he's at our beck and call. Almost like our dog, we whistle and he's got to come. And then we get mad at him because he didn't come quick enough. God knows what he's doing. He's got a hold of you and you can trust him. Talked about in part one, attitude check. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the attitude of Jesus Christ and your attitude is getting off fast and quick on different things, then we know something inside of us isn't, we need healing. Something needs to shift. Why? Because there's no one in this room that can offend me. There's no one in this room that can offend you. We choose to take that on because the peace that goes beyond understanding dwells inside of us. We serve an incredible God. Don't make him small. Don't make him small. His peace goes beyond your understanding. We can weather any storm. In fact, not only weather a storm, we can consider pure joy. Bring it on! Is this the best you got, enemy? Man, my God has got a hold of me. And he's bigger than I thought he was. Don't believe everything you think. Thoughts are just thoughts. Enemy sticks a lot of stuff in our head. And we can't believe everything that flows through our head. He can't read your thoughts. The Bible's very clear. But he sure throws stuff into our thoughts. And he's constantly trying to antagonize us and get us caught. We talked about in that from Philippians. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. It's not something that we're reaching for and one day I might just have that. It's there. It's there. You just have to partner with them. You just got to partner with them. How do you do that? You take captive every thought. Bring it submission into Christ. And that you think on, Philippians 4, 8, 9, you think on things holy, noble, praiseworthy, and true. You think on such things. We've got to participate. There's a movement there that says, you know, God's done everything. We don't have to do anything. That's not true. The Bible tells me I got to take off things and I got to put on things. I've got to draw close and he draws close. I need a partner with him. There's something you need to do. And your spouse can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. Your neighbor can't do it for you. But you can, because he made a way for you. And as we understand that, it sets us free. Talked a little bit about intercession and that it's much more than rub, dub, dub, give me some grub. It's much more than just saying a little prayer or a little thing, but interceding and praying and pressing in is powerful. It changes everything. And that's why the church and that why the enemy has caused the church to fall asleep on praying. I'm not just talking about corporate praying. I'm even talking about praying for our spouse, our wife, or our family, our circumstances, inviting God. Now we turn around and say, well, what do I want to do? Well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Instead of pausing, you say, God, what do you have for me to do today? And then we wonder why we're in such a mess and we're stuck in mud and we're having a hard time. It's because we're not letting God lead us. And he would lead us around, over, under, through things if we would just let him be the lead. We just got to put our faith and our trust in him. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he will make the path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that therefore fighting the battle involves much more than just saying words into the air. Don't let it just be words as a form of ritual. Oh God, I pray covering over my kids. God, I just this. No. If you've moved into that place, it's time for you to maybe close the door behind you, get on your knees before the Lord and say, God, awaken my heart again. God, stir in me once again a passion and a love for what you're doing. Then we talked about this whole idea of how spiritual strongholds get built. We're going to take time on this section and that in this fall as we walk through how do we get healed up these wounds? How do we break off the lies? Because the wound develops a lie in our life so that we'll end up making vows. I shall never be hurt again. No one is ever going to do this. I'm not going to let, and this, and that, and we come with these vows that we make, but we got to understand every brick that you bring up between you and someone else, because I'm not letting them close again. I'm not letting that, and you start building a wall up, you're actually building that wall up between you and God. Scripture's really clear on this. And so we want to help you through Scripture to be able to forgive quickly and love quickly. Our fight's not against, thank you, Paul, but it's against strongholds and spiritual powers and the enemy who are working to overwhelm us and distract us and take us down. Then we talked about truth or snare. There's a lot of half-truths out there. Right? It doesn't take much, does it? You listen to someone telling you a story, they share their side of the story. But if we're not wise and we only listen to one side and we don't hear the other side, it's pretty easy for us to take on a second offense. It's pretty easy for us to grab a hold of something that, well, I remember somewhere in Sunday school, I remember them saying something like that. But it's only half of the truth. And then we find ourselves in a place where we're trying to apply this half-truth. And why isn't it working? Like, come on, why isn't it working? I'm saying it. What am I doing wrong? And it's not that we're doing it wrong. It's just we started wrong. Because what we're declaring or grabbing hold of is only half of it. It's not what God has fully asked. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. And many in this room, many of us could put our hand up in times of our lives that we believed a lie. We held on to a wound. Everyone said this. But when we pause and God brings the light switch on, we realize it was a whisper from someone. It wasn't even lights flashing. It was just a whisper, but the enemy made it feel like it was everyone so that it shifted our whole lives. And there's people maybe even in this room There is career paths that you felt that God wanted you to do, you wanted to do. You never went that way because you believed lies. In fact, I was back in Sulukot, and I was back there. One of the ladies, she's now 57. And God, back in the day, she wanted to be ECE, early childhood educator. And people around her spewed light, death over her, and you can't do that, you'll never amount. So she ended up giving up on the dream. And 2 years ago, God put it in her heart, you need to do this. So she went back to school, and she graduated, and that finished her course, and now she's starting right now into the dream that God had placed in her heart a long time ago. Listen to me. The enemy can't stop the dreams that God has placed in your heart. The timing might be thrown off because of the lies around us, but God will, every word that leaves his lips will come true. And so if God's placed something in your heart and you might be saying, yeah, but I'm already retired, or yeah, but I've already passed it and that door is closed, it's okay. Who opens doors? Who closes doors? So just put your faith and trust in him. Amen? And that today we want to talk a little bit about this attitude of gratitude. And time is flying and pretty much gone already. But I'm going to try to just give a few nuggets on here because I really feel that it's important for us to grab a hold of this truth so that the enemy doesn't deceive us any longer. And so I'm going to leave you with a couple thoughts, and then I'll maybe try and finish it, or well, maybe God's just saying I'll leave it where it is. Attitude of gratitude. We know the song growing up as a kid, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Or, how many people remember a singer that was probably in the 80s? Her name was Evie. E-V-I-E, I think it was. And maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Blonde hair, really short. I'm 4'11" and I'm going to heaven. No, you don't remember that one. And that, you're too young, Casey, that's why. You know, well, she sang this song, and my sister, I remember, bless her heart, she used to hold me down, or one of us boys, because she was the oldest, and that when we were complaining about something, and she'd hold us down, and she'd begin to sing over us, just be thankful for the good things that you got. Just be thankful for, and we're like, ah, ah! You know, and like everything inside of us is dying, and we just like let us up. And as she's saying, it irritated more. But as much as that did that, I still remember that song. And that words of that song has been ingrained in my heart. Maybe it was because of trauma that it there, but God has used it in a good way to be thankful. And an attitude of gratitude is incredibly important if you want to live the Christian life the way that Jesus has called us to. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. So if you're finding it not light right now and you're finding it not easy. Now, well, let me pause. I'm not saying circumstances. I'm not saying life, because he says you will go through trials many times and life will not always be easy. That's his promise. But if you're finding that the burden and that yoke, it's not light and it's not easy, then all that simply means is there's just a little bit too much fill or too much of you. And God still wants to chisel away, and he's still got a little more work to do so that you can be light and you can be free. Despite what happens. Remember the Romanian pastor I shared, you know, his message that he shared as he's in that jail cell. He's been beaten, he's being tortured, and all of a sudden six men come in and they're going to take his life, and he turns around and God rises something inside him and he's like, hey, if you want to take my life, it's okay. That's your weapon, but my your weapon is that, but my weapon in that is that if you take my life, everything I've said is now going to multiply. You know, and he's just like, you know, in this place, he's just like, you know, it's okay. God's got me. Like, devil, is this the worst you can do? Like, if I die today, I'm going to miss my wife and my kids. I'm going to miss my church and those things, and I can think of things, but I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be in the place that we all want to be. We desperately want to be there. Right? Is that not where what we want to be is? We want to be with him? You see, if we lose sight of eternity, everything becomes hard. If we lose sight of eternity, those weights seem to crash us down. And they become more and more difficult. But if we get a hold of eternity and we fix our eyes on Jesus, turn your eyes upon, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, when we come into this place, that despite what happens, despite what goes on around us, despite if we step on each other's toes or something else hits us hard and all of a sudden your spouse gets mad at you or whatever it might be, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. And if we can rest in that place, I'm not talking about, you know, the guys going to their nothing box, you know, and just zoning out as their wife's talking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that peace that goes beyond understanding, that as we come into the place when things are just awry around us and things are stirring and the whirlwind is going, we step into the eye of the storm. Don't run. Don't run from it. That storm will chase you down. Step into the eye of the storm and there's a peace beyond understanding. Chaos is all around you, but you're in that eye of the storm and there's nothing going on. There's a rest in the middle of it. That's what God is promised you. Peace I leave with you. And as we put our trust in him and we put our faith in him, then we begin to see it. And let me just finish with just a couple things. I'm going to throw something towards you here. Just a question, a couple questions to get you to really think about some things. You may not have time to pray about it, and that you won't have time to consult your neighbor or your spouse about these questions. But what I want you to do is instinctively, based on your gut reaction, to respond to some questions. Don't worry, no one's counting anything or holding against or that. I just want you to be honest with yourself. How many people would say, just off the cuff, that I would really like to have more things, better things, or nicer things? You can be bold. You can put your hand up if you want, or you can say I or whatever. I mean, or just in your heart, you can say it. You'd be honest and that you better believe it. I would like to have some better things. Or maybe some more money would be helpful in this season of your life right now. And that who would honestly say, yeah, I'd love to make more money. I need more money at this moment in my life, right? Well, how about $1 million? Would that help anyone else today? Right? $1 million? Well, hands should be up everywhere right now. And I'm assuming that those hands that didn't go up, you really don't want it anyways. So you're not allowed to look under your seat. Ha, 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 ha. But let's talk about $1 million for a second. $1 million, and you see, what would you do for $1 million? Without thinking or praying about it for a week or whatever, who would say off the cuff, I would work 10 extra hours a week if I could make $1 million this year? Who would work 10 extra hours a week if you were promised $1 million? maybe a dozen, maybe 20, 25 people, 26 people, 27, okay? Most people would. Well, how about 20 hours a week? Would you push 20 hours a week for that million? Are you still in? Those that put their hands up, are you still in at 20 hours a week? And you're going to get $1 million at the end of the year, right? Well, let's talk about travel. Who would travel, let's say, a third of the time this year in order to make $1 million? That you'd be on the road for a third of your time and to be away from home. Don't put your hand up now. You're going to get an elbow. I'm just teasing. I'm totally teasing. And that you would be on the road and that for a third of your time. Well, some of you might say, you know what? It would suck. I wouldn't like it. But, man, that would bring freedom for my family, and I'd be able to do more with them, and it's only 1 year. What's a year? I already do that for much less than $1 million, some people might say. I'm already on the road a lot now, so, you know, what's a few extra hours, and I'm actually going to get something for it. It's a no-brainer. If you're married, especially with kids, well, that might be really tough. How many of you would say, now, really thinking about this $1 million thing, it could change the rest of your life and those you love? How many would say, I would travel for a complete year? I would go for a year, and when I came back from that year, I would get $1 million. I'd be a millionaire. You know, like, bye-bye, honey. I'm on the road. I'm gone. I'm going for it. You know, there's people around our country right now that are leaving home. They have to leave home. They go out west. Well, the jobs aren't so good right now, but they were good for a season, and they had to pack up, and they'd leave for 3 months, 6 months, right? And that, Wayne, your dad went on the ships, right? He did the lakes and stuff, and he was gone for a season of time. Why? He was providing for the family. I mean, we all sacrifice, right? You know, Neil, you owned your own shop, right? Others here owned their own business, or you owned your own farm or whatever it might be, and everything's lock stock on you, right? You got to get the job done. Everyone else can leave, but you got to make sure that things are completed. Otherwise, everything could collapse around you. How about, would someone do something dangerous for $1 million? There's a 500-to-1 chance you might die, 500-to-1, but if you do it, you'll get $1 million. I mean, there's people in this world, we watch the game show stuff. We watch other things, and there's people doing crazy things all the time in hopes to get that YouTube hit that they need, in hopes to get this attention from this, to sign for this deal, and that, so they're going to push their body. As a kid, remember Evel Knievel, right? The biker broke every bone in his body, they said, except one pinky. You know, I don't know. That's what I heard anyways growing up. You know, but every bone in his body, like, you know, for what? For a moment of fame. For a moment that in history, his name wouldn't be forgotten. What would we do? Would you maybe small little lie at an interview, but if you get that job, it's $1 million? Maybe tell them a lie about your education. No one will ever find out. Only God really knows. Well, let's be honest, because most of us, really, we've lied for nothing to bail us out of problems. Well, if we're going to lie, we might as well get something for it, right? I mean, that's how the world thinks. Most of us in this room have told a lie at some point in our life. I don't think there's anyone that probably hasn't in some degree or another stretched the truth, whatever it might be. I am playing with something here. Let me come with a statement and that to think about, and then I'll say one scripture, and then I may pick up some of this later. You see, most of us wouldn't sell our soul for any amount of money. But many of us give it away one day at a time. Most of us wouldn't sell our soul for anything. There's no way. But many of us give it away one day at a time. Jacob and Esau. Esau worked himself up into a whole tither. Give me a bowl of soup. Dying. I need it. He wasn't dying. But he was in that place. Well, of course, I'll do it if you give me your birthright, that I can come be first. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Most of us wouldn't sell our soul for any amount of money. But we do give it away one day at a time. And then we find ourselves in a place in our life that we don't even really know who we are. We don't know where the real person is left. And we find ourselves into this kind of no man's land. And it's not fun. It's not what God has called for you. It's not what he wants. Scripture says, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? We serve a God that is so good. We serve a God that is so for us. We serve a God that is working heaven, moving heaven and earth, rearranging everything so that you and I can come into relationship with him. You and I can have our eyes open. You and I can walk free. And of course, you know, of course, I think all of us would say, you know, if someone wants to give me $1 million, if there's no strings attached, I'd take it. I'd use it for good. I'd give it to maybe O'Share. I'd give it to some other charities. I'd do this. I'd do that. Hey, I'd pay off my brother's mortgage. I'd pay off my mortgage. Then I'd be more free to do things. And we could come up with a long list of things. And the reality is God does give millions of dollars to some people. In fact, he says there's part of the, one of the gifts is that there are some people that God has gifted to make money. And whatever they touch, they just seem to make money with it. But it's for a reason. It's not just for them to puff up and that, but God gives you the gift. If he's given you the gift to make money, it's so that you can be a blessing to those around. Then he's given another a gift for something else, and they're meant to be a blessing with that. So we want to take time over this future here and look at what are our gifts? What's your unique gift? Do you know what it is? God says everyone has a gift. And are you using that gift? Are you walking in the place that he's asked you to do? Are you living it? Are you breathing it? You see, we want to help you here at Rockcliffe so that none of us get stuck. Why? Because as your pastor, there's times I've got stuck. And I'm so thankful for my board around me. I'm so thankful for other people around me that kind of coming lovingly give me a little kick and say, come on, what are you thinking? And all of a sudden it stirs back inside of me, say, wait a minute here. I don't have time to waste. There's some things that are important in front of me. Some of those things are my wife, my kids. Some of those things are right here in this body. Some things are other things that God has called me to. But we all can come into that place that we can get caught into the rhythm of the world, that we end up giving ourselves away. And we lose that confidence, we lose the boldness, and we lose that. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what Jesus paid for. He paid to set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if he spoke something in your heart, today I want to stir that back up again. And that if he spoke something in your heart that he's going to do, I'm going to tell you right now, it will happen. Whether you want it to or not, it's going to come into play. And so in that part is we might as well get ready for it. Amen? He says, be ready in season and out of season for when God is going to release what he's going to do in your life. That's right, Rick. It's just an expectation to rise up inside of us. I know that some of us have been around church for a long time. We've been around with God for a long time. If you're here and you haven't been that long, but we can come into that place so easy to say, well, I've prayed for that before. I've seen it before. Oh, that's just normal. Oh, whatever. And we can get into a critical spirit pretty quick. We can get into a place that we see half empty, and we think we're seeing half full. until we start bumping into people and they're starting to say, what are you doing? Like, why are you looking that way? What's going on? And you know the best people for that is someone that has just got saved. And all of a sudden they're getting saved and they start asking you, why are you thinking like that? What do you mean we do that? What do you mean? What do you mean that I'm going to just kind of be more like you? I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be this or whatever. And you get these young ones, and then in the faith, coming to the Lord, and they start spurring us on. Because God doesn't want any of us stuck. So know that you serve a God that is able to move a mountain. So if you let him, he can move your life. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what life has gone for around you, no matter how much of a hand you've been dealt and you don't feel it's fair, God never promised it would be. So break the lie right now. And the truth to that is, God said you will go through trials of many kinds, period. But consider pure joy. And some in this room, you've gone through a lot. You've gone through your share and 15 other people's share all in one. That doesn't mean God's against you, but there's sure something greater and stronger inside of you than you realize that's kept you this long and kept you in the place that you're in. And know that he that began a good work will complete it. And so let his glory shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and they will glorify the Lord. Jesus, I just pray right now, Lord, God, that you would just continue to stir in our hearts. Don't ever let us get into a place that we lay back and we stop. Lord, don't awaken our hearts into the fact that if we're giving away bits of our soul all the time, Lord, to little things, God, Lord, awaken us, Lord, so that we can just return back. God, I thank you right now, Lord. You are better than all the king's men and all the king's horses. You put Humpty Bumpty back together every time in my life and our lives. No matter what pieces we've lost, no matter what's gone on, you have a way of restoring and making new. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, body, mind, soul, and spirit, would you awaken and quicken in each and every one of us and help us to understand that we serve a God of the impossibles. And we serve a God that as long as we're breathing, there is hope and there's something that you have ahead for us. So, Lord, I pray you would quicken in our hearts again. And that a love for what you love, Lord, a love for the souls, a love for just coming into your presence, a love again, an expectation, an anticipation again, Lord, that at any moment this could be the time. This could be the moment. Lord, prepare our hearts. Get us ready, Lord, not only for your return, but Lord, for maybe the time that our loved one is going to turn. Sister's husband is going to come to you. Anticipation, rise again. This could be the day. Jesus, I pray and thank you. It's not hope deferred. It's faith that my God can do the impossibles. And that you said, if I speak towards it, Lord, then Lord, you not only hear, but Lord, you would release that answer. And so Lord, even if the heavenlies are in a battle right now for that answer to come, for whoever it is right now, we just join with them right now and we raise that hallelujah. We shout a little louder and we say in the name of Jesus, Lord, for that answer to be released to those individuals that need it right now. And as they reach out to grab a hold of it, Lord, I pray, God, that they, faith would increase inside of them and that they would witness it and then they would shout from the mountaintops how good you are. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor, Lord. Thank you for another long weekend. Lord, our government just knows how much family is important. I thank you. Maybe even they don't know, but they're giving us these days off. God, we just thank you for it right now. And Lord, we help us to bring that moment back to restore that which you have placed. God, thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you for each and everyone here today. Lord, if there's someone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Lord, or maybe is wrestling with that whole part, God, Lord, I pray today you would just open their ears and their eyes and they would see you. Not see me, not see religious stuff or any of that, but see you.